Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Highbury Squad. It's a lockdown series, volume 2, episode 34. And the player profile has returned. And today we wax lyrical about one Bukayo Saka. And joining me today on the show is one of my favourite writers, especially Arsenal writers, Mr. Dave Seeger from Gunnerstown. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Good to be here.
Yep, always appreciate you coming on. Also, Dave is an author, a journalist. You can read a lot of his articles in the national press. He's written a few books, and we'll get to all of that at the end of the show. He'll tell you where he can find you, but you won't find a better Arsenal connoisseur than Ooh. Dave. There's a few out there, but you're one
you've
of
had,
my
you've favorites. Had Clive you've had Clive on this week, so that's tough to beat.
Clive on, yeah. And well, you know, each person brings their own flavor and taste, so it's great to have you back. And if you missed our Evergreen series with Dave, then you've missed out, because Dave was one of the very fortunate few that had the FA Cup delivered to them last year, which, by the way, do you still pinch yourself about that one?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it is. See, I don't know how I've done it, but every time I open my photos on my phone, it's the first two photos are always that. They don't seem to move. So I don't recall doing anything to make that happen, but they're always the first photos I see when I look at my photos. So yeah, I see it every day.
I love it. Matty K is actually referring to you as Sir Dave. So that says a lot.
I've seen that. Thank you, Matty. He obviously doesn't know me.
Yes. Well, no, I think he does. And you know what? It is my second smooth criminal eve, although I'm cream tonight. Last night I was dressed all in white. Tonight it's a shade of cream. And I've got the old, you know, old school, what do they call it, Dave, when you put your hanky in your suit pocket.
Oh, so, why did you ask me that? I should know. I've only done it for my daughter's wedding, and I had to ask everyone then.
No, I'm sure you look
at you. You look at you and your lovely office and all the stuff behind. I'm in a new house that's barely decorated. And I've just got a plain wall behind me.
Waiting for a desk
to arrive to put my Arsenal artwork behind.
I was going to say, yeah, you're just waiting for your Arsenal artwork to go
well,
behind.
I'm looking this way. I can see some of my Arsenal artwork, but not that side yet. So.
I love it. Well, look, it's a cravat. Thank you, Newman. You're always there.
No, it's not. That's what you wear around your neck.
Oh, that is. That's French, the cravat. This is,
It'll come to me. Don't worry. Someone will tell us.
All right. Well, listen, let's get to it, right? Because we love the player profile series, and we've covered Emile Smith Rowe. We've done Pablo Mari. We've done Martin Odegaard as well. And I've been chomping at the bit to do something about this very special young man. And I couldn't think of a better person to wax lyrical about Bukayo Saka than you. And, you know, he's such a special, special player. And, you know, I wanted to start here, Dave, because this picture he posted himself a little while ago. You know, he comes from a humble background. He seems like he was raised beautifully by his family. He's another great story of immigrants who come to the UK and make the best of their new life, raised in a lower middle class family. He's talked about his dad being his hero. He's part of this crop of young English players that, you know, have really come through. And I want to start at the very beginning, because it seems to everyone that he's had this meteoric rise since signing that contract in 2018. But he's almost become the epitome of what Hayland Academy could be. I know you watched him a little. You didn't exactly kind of follow him. You know, I know you've written about him, but definitely from an early age, he was someone that the club identified as a potential future star.
No, I think that's always been the case, and I think maybe he wasn't as well known because Reece Nelson was. If that sounds a bit weird, because Reece Nelson was almost like the Jack Wilshere, that everyone was talking about Reece Nelson because of the step overs and because of the silky skills and the dribbling. And Saka was a little bit younger and perhaps went under the radar because there's always one that people, you know, select as the next potential. And I think that benefited Saka, to be honest, because he slightly went under the radar when he broke through into the first team squad. But since then, obviously, it's just been an incredible story.
Yeah. And he signed his contract. I mean, he was given the opportunity, wasn't he, by Unai Emery initially. But I think it's fair to say that his career really super escalated under Mikel Arteta. Would you Would you agree with that? Even though Unai gave him his chance, it seems like his growth has really happened in the last year or so.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And of course, it's been in a variety of roles as well. And it's still crazy to look at now when you think that he's probably the first name on the team sheet for Arteta, that it's only 6 months ago he didn't make the cup final squad and he didn't even come on. I mean, sorry, he didn't make the team and didn't come on. And yet he'd been playing in that build-up. And and Ainsley Maitland-Niles got the nod in the semi and the final and the Community Shield. And that's incredible now, 6 months ago, to think that after all he did at the end of last season, he didn't feature in that glory day. But since then, it's just been incredible and in so many different positions. But I do think Arteta's found the right role for him now. I do think that the right in a 4-2-3 in the 4-2-3-1 is where he looks most comfortable. Mm-hmm. Although he has been looked comfortable wherever he's been asked to play. You know.
Yeah, I want to touch on this with you because I know you've written about in the past Eddie Willock, Reece, and you mentioned how Maitland-Niles kind of played in that FA Cup. When you look at these young boys and stuff. I want you to tell me if I'm being overly dramatic or not, because to me, Saka's now defining what it means to be a Haaland Academy product. He's almost elevated the awareness of the Haaland, much like some of the Barcelona did for La Masia back in the day. He was given that chance. Do you think that's an overstatement on my behalf, or do you think it's kind of a fact that he's really put the Haaland on the map because it's been a few years since we've seen that super rise to the top from a Haaland product?
No, I think that's fair. And I think people you see on Twitter, on social media, people are starting to call themselves Haaland. You know, that's become part of the Arsenal psyche, whereas back 2 or 3 years ago, it was just the Arsenal youth academy under Brady. People didn't call it Haaland. And so it's certainly become part of the Arsenal psyche, I think. And he is definitely... The icon, if you like, the flag bearer right now. But there is some serious talent coming behind him as well. And I think those other players you had in that picture and some of the players we've mentioned, I think it's important to understand that these are all very good players. I mean, Saka is special. But I think what's going to happen, and obviously assuming we stick with Arteta, and I hope we do, there's going to be a style of play. And sometimes you get fantastic footballers that don't fit a style of play that a manager wants to play. So you might see someone who's prominent under Emery might not be prominent under Arteta. Willock played so much football under Emery and early on under Arteta, but he's now on loan. So it can change based on the style of player. And I think Saka is absolutely perfect for the way Arteta wants Arsenal to play. He's not there yet. He hasn't got all the players yet, but Saka is absolutely critical to that.
Yeah. This is what I love about our listeners, Dave, because we have them from all around the world. Babatunde here. Bukayo is a Yoruba name from Nigeria, meaning to add happiness. Wow. This boy really giving us... It gave me chills, actually.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right? Isn't that great? Because
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, because he's definitely... I remember... Do you remember how Dwight York always used to play with a smile on his face? No matter what, the dude was always happy. There are certain players that just play continually with a smile on their face. And I think one of the positive things that Saka brings to the team is he always seems just happy to play football. I just wanted to throw this one in there because that name almost defines his persona.
Yeah, no, I think it's important. And I find the older I get, which is very old, when I was younger, and it's a different era entirely, you used to have favourite players, and I'm sure younger fans still do. I don't really, it's a team thing for me. But if I do find myself thinking of players in the last, say, 10 years that I've really had an affection for, they weren't the best players. They were the players that played with a smile on their face and the players that you didn't know what was going to happen. And for example, Danny Welbeck and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I really, really enjoyed those two players because of that reason. You always didn't know what was going to happen and they always are smiling. And Saka brings that. He just happens to be more talented than both of them as well.
He does. So I want to get to this one for you before we kind of get into his human characteristics, his strengths and his football attributes, Dave. How would you compare him to other younger talent that have come through, whether they're homegrown players, and you can compare them for me, like in terms of the homegrown players that have been part of the academy and came through to the first team versus maybe the thrilling young talent that we bought in, like an Anelka. What's your take? Because for me, excitement-wise, thrilling-wise, exhilaration-wise, I don't think I've seen anything like this since Anelka. Anelka was not a homegrown player. What are your thoughts on him in comparison to some of the most exciting young players we've seen come through in our team?
Well, there was obviously a long period under Wenger where we didn't really see many come through, which was because we were so successful and because we had money, it was never really going to happen. I think before that and after that, we've seen a lot more of it, and I hope we're going to see a lot more. If I was going to compare in excitement terms, it would be comparable, would be Wilshere. But the actual one that I really do think of, and it's a massive accolade, but it's not just the player. It's the way Rocastle burst into the side, because where I see Saka playing now on the right, even though he's a lefty, he's very comfortable on the right, and most of his youth football at Arsenal was played on the right, and so he's almost back where, you know, everyone thought when they saw him in the first team, first of all, either on the left of midfield, left wing, or left wing back, he was always going to be on the left, and they're surprised that he's now successful on the right. But in fact, he did come through the youth academy mostly on the right, and it's the combination of this incredible skill and talent combined with tenacity, which is what Rocastle had. It's very rare, and it's the difference between a very, very good player and a great player. It's when you can combine that pure ability and talent with work rate, and some of the best footballers don't manage it. You know, if you look at really, really good players who should be great players, they're not great players because they don't work as hard as they should. You have to work as hard. You read Bergkamp's autobiography, is a classic example of someone who had all the talent, God-given or whatever it may be, but he works so hard on his game. And I think Saka has that. And I think maybe that's why Saka's playing week in, week out for Arsenal. And maybe some of the other ones of his generation aren't. They might have had the same talent, but they haven't got the same work ethic.
So let's talk about
Rocastle. Rocastle is the comparison I would make.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. And I think Mike from the Gooners podcast, who's in here, just said, I didn't think I could love Saka more until Dave just compared him to my favourite football of all time, Rocky. You know, and I think Rocky just has a special place in all of our hearts. And you bring on a good point, which leads us into, before I get to the football attributes, the human characteristics, because, you know, we're seeing a lot of emerging young England players coming through right now, Dave. Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford. I mean, Gareth Southgate's going to have a very difficult time picking his squad. And I want to get to
Mount
England
as well.
At the very end of this. Yeah. And Mason Mount as well. Yeah, of course. But we've seen Foden and Grealish Greenwood get into a little bit of trouble off the field. And to me, when I look at Saka's human characteristics and his strengths, he seems to not be affected by the bright lights or the burden of being a star in London. Mentally, he's very strong. He seems like a fearless, firstly, before we're even talking about his football strengths, seems like a fearless human being. He's very humble. He seems to be a sponge as well for learning. You could tell like he respects all of the senior players around him and is willing to accept, you know, learning and growing. He's very team oriented. And yet, even for such a young man, his fearlessness makes him this leader that I think he's taken on organically. What do you think about the human side of him before we kind of even get to the football attributes of him? And that has a lot to do with how he was raised by his parents, of course.
Yes, no, I'm sure that is the case. And I can't profess to know that much. Obviously, I see the interviews, you know, post-match and, you know, perhaps in programmes. He does come across as very down to earth. He comes across as quietly very, very driven. But I think patient as well. I don't think there was any sign last year. He was in the first team, he was out the first team. He was in the first team, he was out the first team. There was no indication or anything read anywhere that there was a problem for him. I mean, to not be in the cup final side when you played in earlier rounds, it must have been really tough. And there was he just got his head down and carried on working. And to be honest with you, the biggest testament there is that if you look at Saka this season, even compared to last season, it's a whole different level. It is a whole different level. And when the team were performing so badly in November and December, he was the one shining light. The team, and he is very much a team player, the team wasn't performing. He still was. Mm-hmm. And yet you didn't see him get frustrated. You didn't see him, you know, this is not happening for me. He just got his head down and carried on working. And the other thing, he takes so much responsibility on the pitch.
Yeah.
He takes responsibility for, you know.
He really does, and he's unafraid. So this kind of leads us into, Dave, a little bit about the footballer we've fallen in love with on the pitch, because clearly there's, you know, a good human being that has, you know, and it says a lot, doesn't it, about how Arsenal and some other teams, I'm not just saying Arsenal, but, you know, it's very difficult when you have a super talent and you're in an academy and you're trying to make it as a player. You don't know if it's going to happen for you, but you just work and you grind. It teaches young players a lot about work ethic, doesn't it? And making it count, not wasting your talent, making sure that you're capitalizing on, which is a privileged situation really for a lot of young players, isn't it? That, you know, I know a few players, and so do you, that haven't made it. And they haven't, their talent hasn't come to fruition, but he seems to really recognize the opportunity he's been given, especially with his background and his parents, but he's come in and he's worked really hard to achieve his goals.
Yeah, and also I think it's a good thing for Arsenal Football Club that he is like that, because there are other young players, and our fans are constantly moaning that Martinelli's not getting enough football since he came back from injury. And yet Martinelli's not complaining. He's only got to look at someone the same age as him. He's not going to be sitting there thinking, I'm not going to get my opportunity. He's going to be thinking, if I believe in my ability, which I'm sure Martinelli does, I will get my opportunity because my friends have got their opportunity. They're the same age as me. They work hard. They've got their opportunity. My time will come. And we now have an ethos and an ethic and an atmosphere and environment now, I think, that will engender that. So that's why I think we may be looking for the first time, and, you know, touching wood or whatever, but I think for the first time since the 80s, we might be looking at the situation where we do have two or three come through. And people don't think that sounds a lot. That's massive to have two or three or four players come through at the same time, like we had between sort of 86 and 88. That doesn't happen very often at any football club, let alone one in the top half of the Premier League. So, you know, we really are possibly, and I really hope, at the start of something. And he is, as you say, he's become the poster boy for that. But I think it could be the start of something really huge for Arsenal.
Yeah, he seems to be at the nucleus of it. So this is where I want to get into your football brain, Dave, because you've written a lot of great articles about a lot of players. And actually, someone just mentioned that they enjoyed, I got to find this so I can post it up here, your piece on Arteta. Where is it? I'm going to find
this
it before.
Week.
Wanted to say, yeah, from Avon Teddington here, wanted to say a big thank you to Dave for his article on progress, Arteta and mental health. It was fantastic to find out that other people shared my stress coping techniques. And, you know, I mean, this is what I love about our listeners, that and they're very well read. And this was a really important article that you wrote. And it plays into, you know, how important it is, even for young players like Saka. I mean, you're under the spotlight. You're given everything. You have all the money. You have everything. And if you can't handle a lot of the mental issues that come with it, the responsibility that come with it, but also the juxtaposition of your piece and how you wrote about that for all of us in terms of coping with stress and how we deal with that.
Yeah, and I think also it's with Saka, and I wrote about this a few months ago for the Gooner, actually, because I was very fortunate, and I'm no expert, but when I did the Geordie Armstrong book, one of the things, I interviewed a lot of people that he brought through as reserve team manager at Arsenal, and a lot of those young players, who some of them made it Arsenal, some of them didn't. But what I learned about at that time was this: the Arsenal way. And the Arsenal way, when they're looking after young men or teenagers, is so much more than football when it comes to Arsenal. And fans might bemoan some of the traditions that have left our club and some of the things we don't do in the same classy way that we used to. And, you know, that's another point. But one of the things we've always done is educate young people. So whether they succeed at Arsenal or whether they succeed somewhere else, you'll get people like, I'll give you a really good example of who I interviewed, Stephen Sidwell loves Arsenal Football Club.
Oh, wow,
he spent 11 years at Arsenal and never played a single first team game. He considers himself an Arsenal man, and he considers his success in football purely down to the way he was brought up by the likes of Geordie Armstrong and Pat Rice, and it's the Arsenal way. And Kevin would tell you the same. You know, Kevin would say, I interviewed Kevin for that book, and he did say the same. So you have that sort of way of being brought up, and there are people that are always there. Some of the people who I interviewed are now at the academy, and they're sort of passing on what they learned 20 years ago. And I think Saka and those that come through, whether they succeed at Arsenal or otherwise, will always be grateful for the way they're brought up at Arsenal. And because it's so much more about football. It's how you respect the opposition, other clubs, on the pitch, off the pitch. when you arrive at a ground, when you leave a ground, it's everything. That's what Arsenal's all about.
Yeah. You know, Osterman here talks about how they're so down to earth, ESR and Saka, and they're determined to work hard and, you know, play for the Arsenal and represent that. I think they're proud to wear the badge. And, you know, you have players like Guendouzi who come in that are super talented but have this arrogance about them. And you talk about the Arsenal way. And sometimes people, when you mention that, they're like, well, what does that mean anymore? What is it? But there is still an ethos and a culture to the club, even though maybe in the first team we're trying to rebuild our DNA and our culture in terms of winning ways and being competitive again. When you go into the system at the Arsenal, and Kev talks about this a lot too, like you just said, that ethos hasn't really changed. And you see the difference in Guendouzi, who grabs Mopay by the neck and talks about how much he's earning, where you would think Saka and ESR would never do that.
No. Bentner was the exception. No, but players who come through from a young age, you know, like Saka, yeah, absolutely. They it's when they go away. For example, when they're sort of 13, 14, 15, they go to Gothia and they go to these tournaments abroad where they're playing against other, you know, similar age kids from clubs all over Europe. And I remember once they went to, they played a tournament in Belgium. So they went to Ypres and they saw the graves and the club took them. And so we're out here to play football, but while we're here, let's teach you about the world. And that's always been the Arsenal way. So it's that respect for everything around you and the privilege you have. But don't take anything for granted. And it's very much steeped in respect to everybody, respect the opposition, respect them on the pitch, off the pitch. And it's just the Arsenal way. And you can see it with these two and Saka, the way he's interviewed, as you say, the humble background, but just the way he's been brought up. And he's been at Arsenal so long that it's just part of his, it's become part of his DNA. And I'm sure there are many more like it. I talk to Charlie Patino a lot, and he's the next exciting talent I hope to see come through in the next couple of years. And he's exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you, Danielle. Saka is a prime example of how humility, intelligence and maturity can shape a potential world-class player. Very true. All right, Dave, I want to get into the player now, the football attributes. He's versatile positionally, very skillful. He's got tricks in the bag that sometimes come from a spontaneous point of view. He has superb pace. I don't know. You can tell me if it's an overstatement to say he has electric pace, but it seems like because he's very quick footed, his movement makes you feel that. Technically gifted, knows how to treat the ball, stroke the ball, composed on the ball. His stamina is beyond belief. He feels like he's like this train that could keep going and going. His endurance, of course. He's unafraid to get stuck in. He's creatively minded. And he can score and take his chances as well. When we look at his football attributes and how that translates to his position, you know, he can play winger, wing back, left back. Can you talk me through a little bit about the attributes and where you think he plays best in this current team, but as he grows as a footballer, where you see him being the most value to this team?
Well, I do think he's settled in his right position right now. I do think in a 4-2-3-1, which if we stick with Arteta, I'm sure that's going to be the formation for a while. That will be his position. I mean, last year it was strange in that over the course of the season we started 4-2-3-1 with Ozil. We dabbled with 4-3-3. It was horrendous. We switched to the 3-4-3, and in all three formations there was a role for Saka, which speaks volumes for his ability. But I do think the right or the left. Interchangeably, but I do think the right in the 4-2-3-1 is where we will see him end up. Interestingly, and it's not an Arsenal thing, but I think I'm fascinated to see what happens because something has happened in another club that I think it might impact this. It's hard to see, you know, when you look at Foden and Grealish and all these other players and Rashford and Sterling, it's hard to see Saka being behind the striker for England this summer. But Chilwell has suddenly fallen out of favour at Chelsea because Tuchel's gone to a back three. So Alonso, right, as a wing back, is back in favour. So I think where Saka played ahead of Maitland-Niles on a two or three occasions for England, whilst I don't particularly want him to play left wing back for England, I think Southgate may well go with a three. And I think if he does go with a three, I think Saka's actually probably in pole position to play, you know, left of the four, if you like, in the wing back role for England. But I certainly don't want that to be his role for Arsenal. And I think where he is now suits all the attributes you described.
So I was going to ask you this and save it to the end, but because it's come up and we can always
apologies.
Kind of go back. No, because do you think it would. Okay, so I'm going to be selfish here in the way and the manner in which I'm asking this question. Obviously, for Saka, it would be incredible if he got to go to the Euros as part of this England team, especially.
Oh, I'm sure he'll go.
But do you think, from an Arsenal perspective, if he didn't get chosen, it would be better for us as we get to this summer transfer window? Arteta really gets to be able to buy more players and form his team and his image and his characteristics as a manager. They're not. I mean, obviously, look at what happened to Walcott, right? He went to that World Cup, didn't play a part, but it was part of the experience because he was this great, you know, hope for England and one of the most exciting talents. What's your thoughts on whether Saka going benefits us or not? And from a selfish point of view, would you want him to not be selected?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm very much the antithesis of most Arsenal supporters. Now, I love my players playing for their countries, whoever they are. And I love it. Obviously, I'm English, so I love as many Arsenal players playing for England as there possibly can be. I remember distinctly the devastation of the likes of Rodecastle not going to two, you know, World Cup and a Euros, having played all the qualifying games. I remember it, you know, with other players, you know, Lee Dixon. And I always want our players to play for England. I mean, Martin Keogh went to two World Cups and didn't play a game. You know, I still feel sorry for him to this day. No, I absolutely want Saka to play for England this summer. I want him to start every game. So I'm not, and I do totally understand what you're saying, and most other Arsenal fans would disagree with me, but I love seeing my my players play for my country, and it pains me that we've had so few in recent years.
I do too. I have to say that I think it's a testament to Arsenal Football Club as well. We used to love it, right? I mean, there was a period where so many of our players used to get selected. And like you said, it's been a long time. And I think that has a lot to do with, and no disrespect, there's a huge, the Premier League change that evolved. There was an influx of foreign players to the benefit of the league. It became the most exciting league and even better with all of the foreign players that came to be. But we also don't want to stifle. And I think Dave, you know, we had this crop of British players, you know, from Chambers to Wilshire to Walcott, that we
Gibbs,
were hoping.
Ox, Jenko. Yeah,
Gibbs, Ox, Jenko. I mean, the list is endless, isn't it? And a lot of it lived up to the expectation, some because of injuries and some just because they never really got a shot because of maybe the foreign talent that came into the squad.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm you know, I want players to play for Arsenal who are good enough to play for Arsenal and will improve the team. Obviously, I don't really care which country they come from. In fact, you know, I think, as you say, it's amazing how much our leagues improve as a result of the foreign influx. Mm-hmm. That said, you don't get the same. You never ever, as a fan, quite get the same buzz as one of your own succeeding, and that's mm-hmm. why probably a lot of fans of my generation will still harken back to that 89 side, because there were so many young kids that had come from our own academy, and it's just so special and it's so rare in modern football. And it's why Man United fans will talk about the class of 95 and we'll talk about the class of 87. And I would love, you know, I would love to be talking in 2 years' time of the class of, you know, 20 to 22 from Arsenal, because I think it's possible. I would love to see that. But I think whatever happens, I don't think Saka, unless he does start a left wing back, and that's a possibility, I don't think Saka will be a starter for England. But I think he will get game time. So, you know, maybe there's a balance there that he'll be part of it, but he won't be knackered when he gets back.
can I ask this? Just switching back a little bit, we've seen so many players come through that we've been excited about. And some have come through the academy and some we have, you know, brought into the club. Obviously, Wilshire's one that springs to mind immediately in terms of what he could have been. Injuries hampered him. Diaby's an example of bringing in a player that we thought could be the next Vieira and injuries hurt him. Walcott was part of that Southampton academy where Bale came out and was super exciting and everybody thought Walcott would be the same. And I think Walcott gets a bit of a hard time because if you look at what he's done for Arsenal, and I actually think he was a decent player for our club and scored some pivotal goals at times. Ramsey was another one that came in. And I think you could argue that without him, we wouldn't have won at least two of those recent FA Cups since 2014-15. Mm. So, we do have a tendency as well, and it happens in the England team, of course, and it's happening to Grealish and Foden and Greenwood and Rashford, and it happened to Wilshire and Walcott. Are you afraid that we're putting too much pressure on him? But do you see a point of difference that makes you believe that Saka will be different to some of those other stories pertaining to Arsenal?
Well, I mean, some of them, as you say, were injury related. But if you take the Walcott comparison, I mean, I agree with you. I think Walcott was fantastic for Arsenal for many years, and particularly the Van Persie era, because people forget, you know, that combination, the amount of goals that combination produced for Arsenal. And it was just towards the end that, you know, he didn't evolve as a player. And it's a case of Walcott had some very, very strong attributes, but they were limited and he made the best of them. Saka's slightly different. Saka has all the attributes. I mean, really, you know, as you say, he has pace, and I think he's increased that pace. The upper body strength and the low centre of gravity when he wants to hold off the ball, Walcott never had that. You know, and he's playing in the same role. So Walcott was playing right in a 4-2-3-1 for most of his career under Wenger. Saka is now playing in that same position. Saka works back better than Walcott. The thing that he didn't do that Walcott did until this season was he didn't finish as well as naturally as Walcott. That's coming. And his final ball this year is people would have pointed to his stats last year and saying, yes, but are there really that many assists given the opportunities he's had and the positions he's got into? And I would say they were probably right. You know, he did under-deliver. You know, his accuracy of pass and the decision of pass wasn't there. Maturity would change that. This year, it's so much better. His finishing's better. So I think there's a broader skill set with Saka than Walcott had, if you could want to compare those two, because it's fair, because they are playing the same position.
Yeah. What would you say, to me, it seems like one of Saka's strongest attributes, as well as all of the things that we've talked about, and I wanted to get into this, is his mental strength. To me, it seems like, you know, when I see Aubameyang, as great as he's been and as an incredible player as he's been, and let's be honest, since he's come in for two seasons, his goals have saved us, as well as I believe Leno's saves have saved us. But when you look at kind of like the present and the future, and then you look at some of our players, Dave, it seems to me like Saka's got that extra edge that every footballer needs. And I think ESR has it to an extent too, and we covered that in his player profile. Mentally, he seems very strong.
Yeah, there's no fragility there. Well, I mean, going back to the point of being deselected, if you like, or dropped, call it what you will, rested and not played in the run-in. You know, where there was two Wembley glory games and to miss out on those, it must have been really, really painful for him, because he must have felt, you know, having got his new contract, having been playing reasonably regularly, that he was in with a shout. And to come back from that so much stronger speaks volumes, doesn't it? But you're actually talking about his mental strength on the pitch as well, which is that never say die attitude, which is so it's patently obvious when you watch him. You know, it's like, and that's why fans, for example, love Martinelli. Because when he comes on, he will chase every lost cause. And Saka's not as obvious as that, in that he's not going to chase a ball. I mean, but he is very, very determined. If he loses the ball, it's like Henri used. Henri didn't chase back every cause, but if he personally lost the ball, he would win it back. Saka's that sort of, you know, if he
takes
responsibility.
It was almost an insult, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think Saka's like that. He if he feels like he's at fault for something, he will want to rectify it. And that's a great mental strength to have, I think.
Definitely. Okay, so I do want to touch on this, and I think we have to be honest, because even as you're growing as a player and all those great players, that young great players that I mentioned, like Grealish, a lot of people say he needs to release the ball quicker. Foden, he needs to understand maybe a little bit more positionally when he's playing with certain players in the squad. For me, if I'm going to be honest about Saka, and you can correct me, and weaknesses are, I think it's a negative word, but let's just say growth potential, right? He's still young and he's learning his craft. I think crossing the ball, especially from corners, generally as a team, we've been woeful at that. And when you see how many crosses that we've put into the box, I think some of those stats read a little topsy-turvy, because there's no one really in the box to finish it with a header, etc. I think sometimes he needs to release the ball a little bit sooner. He's trying to maybe put too much on his shoulders, and his decision making, I think, in releasing the ball, sometimes he just needs to be a little bit less selfish. What are your thoughts on that?
I take that, but I think it's improved a lot this year on last year. And I also think you're right about the stats. You know, with Tierney lofting ball in after ball. You know, what Arsenal need to be doing and what we're starting to do now is what Lundberg and Pires would have done. They would have got to the byline and cut it back or put in a low, hard cross. And that's what Saka's starting to do much better. It's not a case of let's get to the byline and loft it. And it's a classic, a really good comparison, because let's face it, the two players who are going to get in that position for Arsenal right now on the right-hand side are Saka and Bellerin. Saka's doing it really well, really, really well. Bellerin's doing it appallingly. And he's so much more mature. He's had so much longer to learn the game. He's finding a player with Bellerin, you'd be 1 out of 10. Saka, you'd probably be more like a 6 out of 10. From the byline and the cutback and that sort of cross. From corners, now I take your point. He shouldn't be taking the corners.
But
as you say, who should? Arsenal, we haven't probably had a good corner taker since Santi.
Yeah, and that's why I think if Odegaard plays, I think maybe he should be on corners in terms of distribution and stuff. I wanted to throw this one at you from Demsek. Do you think he needs to score more goals?
But if you look on compared to last year, it's already a lot more. And the other thing I like about him, and it's a criticism I have of most modern footballers, Aubameyang, even Aubameyang, you know, if it's on your right foot, hit it with your right foot. If you're left-footed and you hit it with your right foot and it goes into row Z, it doesn't matter. At least you're trying, rather than lose the opportunity by trying to get it back on the foot you want it to get on. And we see that so often in the modern game. And Saka doesn't do that. So, yes, he will miss the odd chance with his right foot and he might make the wrong decision. He might hit it too close to the keeper. But I think he's improving all the time. And there's a level of calmness in front of goal that is definitely up on last year. But I agree with Demsek. It's got a way to go. But, crikey, he's 19.
I know. What do you think about this? I'm not sure about this stat, Newman. I'd have to check it. But headers, what do you think about? I mean, is he the type of player that we expect to be a good header of the ball? Should every player on the pitch be a good header of the ball? And I think positionally.
I don't know. I accept what Newman's saying, but I consider it a complete irrelevance. And if we were kicking the ball long, you know, occasionally we do, but it's very rare. And aerial duels from the right of the attack, how often they could be vital. He doesn't defend. He doesn't need to be there defending corners. So no, I don't see that as an issue, to be honest.
This one from Games FC for you, Dave. Should a 19-year-old have that much responsibility on his head? Kevin talks about it all the time in terms of how it's not right that Arsenal Football Club have put all of their, the season rides on ESR's shoulders, but mostly on Saka's. What do you think about this?
Yeah, but I don't think the club have made that decision. I think the players made that decision for them. I mean, that's like saying Tony Adams should have been a captain when he was 17. Can't say that. I mean, if we were in the position we wanted to be in, yeah, perhaps we could be a little bit more careful. A really good example would be Paul Merson won Young Player of the Year in sort of 87, 88. In 88, 89 when we won the league. But the year before, he played about 20 games. So George Graham eased him in. He didn't play him every week. He would take him off. He would play him every other game and he'd ease him in. The modern game, there's too much pressure on managers. There's too much pressure on managers to have to deliver things straight away. So whilst I'd love to think Arteta, and I'm sure Arteta would love to, you know, rotate him a bit more, rest him, his form and our position is just making that impossible. I totally get the question. I totally sympathise with the sentiments. And I'm sure in an ideal world, he would rest him more. He certainly should take him off when games are won. If we start winning games, then yes, we should take Saka off for the last 20 minutes. I agree with that. But to not play him is tough. It's really tough.
Yeah, I agree completely. Like, look what Villa are like without Grealish. You know, there are certain players that are needed right now, and whether we like it or not, and it's not a bad thing whether someone's 28 or 19. If they are value on the pitch and they improve the team, they should play. But I think Avon Teddington brings up a good point. Does Dave feel the physical demands of the Premier League might mean that players now peak before the age of 28? You remember back in the day when the Premier League started in 92, Dave, throughout the 90s, it was 28 is when they peak, 28 is when they find their groove. Are you worried about burnout for the likes of Saka and ESR?
I do know what you're saying. And I mean, certainly, you're right, early night. I mean, mid-90s, you know, Gordon Strachan was winning the league and captaining the side at 36, 37. And then we you know, Adams, Winterburn, Dixon, Keogh and Bulb were all winning leagues in their mid-30s. Yeah, the world has changed. Pitches are more demanding, even though it's ironic that they're less muddy quagmires than they used to play in the 80s and early 90s. They're carpets, but they are more demanding. The footwear changes things as well. But I'm not an expert, so I can just say that, you know, we are in a situation where we do play in lesser competitions. We do, you know, but normally you'd have a situation where the League Cup and the Europa League, the players who are playing, who are crucial to the first team in the Premier League, wouldn't play in those competitions. But I just think, again, I come back to it, we're not in that situation. So, yeah, I'd love to be, you know, I'd love to think that with squad sizes we could rotate, and we should, because of the physical reasons that that Avon suggests. But I just think the pressures of the modern game and the money in the modern game counterbalance that with just so much pressure. So I don't know what the solution is my answer to that.
Okay, so before I get you out on this, how would you summarize what if I gave you the reins as manager, or if you were part of the club, and even as a writer yourself, and someone who's followed Arsenal for years and years and been, you know, the nucleus of the community and stuff like that. These players are one in a generation, if not two, three generations. I mean, he's so special, he's so unique. How would you manage him, Dave? And what are our expectations of fans are so vast sometimes, and sometimes unrealistic. But if you were to summarize Saka, what would you say about the present and what you are hoping for in the future?
Well, I think we're very fortunate, and we obviously concentrate on Saka today. I think, as I wrote about or that piece that someone referred to earlier about, you know, stop moaning, you know, things are progressing. Because we can all moan about individual players that aren't performing. You know, we can all got our own personal favourites. But if you take Saka and Gabriel, Tierney, Smith Rowe, potentially Odegaard, and Leno, you've got five or six players that would form a nucleus of an Arsenal side. So they're the ones we've got to be careful with, and we've got to build around. And it's ridiculous to think that, whereas Aubameyang might be demanding, I want better players to play with me, and probably justified in saying that, but it is probably the Sakas and the Gabriels and the Tierneys that we need to look after, because they're the future of the football club. And if we get it right with the young players coming through with two or three key signings, we could be going back to that era where we do stay at Arsenal for 10 years. You know, I'm an Arsenal man, because it's not about money for some players, and Saka would be one of those, I think. It's about winning. And, you know, Saka will stay at Arsenal as long as he has a chance of winning. And we need to look after him, but we need to look after him by making sure we start winning things again. And that is the only way in modern football that you can keep a player, however loyal he may be. The Matthew Letizias and the Billy Bonds of this world, they don't exist. And it's very rare. And you get that by having success. You play on a successful side, it's easy for people. I'm saying, yeah, Tony Adams would have never gone, and Dennis Bergkamp would never gone. They signed 1-year extensions because the club was winning and they would be paying great money. You know, if you're not winning, money on its own is not enough. So the way we protect Saka in the future is we build a team around him and three or four others that can start winning things again.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, we did on Kevin's segment a couple of weeks ago, we said, you know, what's the window to hold on to the Martinellis and the Sakas and the ESR? I think ESR and Saka are different because I think they wear they're tattooed. They've got Arsenal tattooed somewhere on their body. And Martinelli might be a little bit different. But what do you think the window is for a Saka and an ESR? Is it 3 years? Do we even know?
Yeah. It is what it is, because they're on that length of contract. I mean, we're lucky in that we're not like we were 3 or 4 years ago. We, with the exception of players we don't probably want, none of the players we want are a year or two to go. They're all 3 or 4 years to go now. The core are all on long-term contracts. So we don't have to worry about it for 2 or 3 years at least. Well, 2 years. So we've got 2 years to get to a point where we're competing for top honours again. And that's entirely possible under this manager, I hope and believe. But I don't think we're many players away. I mean, someone just put at the bottom, I didn't see the name, that we need a new striker. And I think potentially we do need a new striker. The column today in The Sun was about, you know, after Aubameyang got some fierce criticism from Jamie Redknapp, ironically, the same player who said he was a world beater 6 months ago, the same pundit said he was finished and passed it at the weekend. But Aubameyang's not past it. Aubameyang needs to adapt. And I think what we have with Smith Rowe, with Martinelli, with Odegaard potentially, with Saka, we have fast tempo players who move the ball quickly, and we need a striker who can play with those sort of players. Now, I think Aubameyang can do that. Lacazette does the hold up and link up play well. Aubameyang doesn't, but he can do it. He did it against Leeds. Yeah. He did it against Valencia 2 years ago. He's in his armory. He just needs to want to do it. So if he doesn't get excited by having those three or four players playing behind him, then I don't know what does excite him. And I hope it isn't just money, because, you know, we have that player. That said, and the joke of it is, and you know, you talked about him recently, I saw on Twitter, you know, Giroud, what we want and what we need is Olivier Giroud with pace. And I said that when he played for us, and I said it after he left us. I love the guy. He's a great player for Arsenal, whatever anyone says. But, you know, he wasn't the answer ultimately because he needed pace. Aubameyang has the pace. He needs to show the other attributes. And I think he has them in his locker.
You know what, Dave? It's so funny because a Giroud in this team that plays slower would probably shine better, especially with our 400-plus crosses we put into the box versus the team he played in was much faster, wasn't it? We played with speed. Yeah. We played much faster through the middle. And there were times where you couldn't keep up. But
that's what Arteta's trying to get to now. I mean, when Alexis came in and it wasn't quite working for Giroud, although he never let us down, because he does the hold-up play very well, and he's great at getting across his man doing the finishing, but he wasn't always able to get there to finish the moves that he was involved in starting because of his great link-up play. So the missing link is the person who can do both, you know, the end of the move and the beginning of the move, but get to the end of the move from the beginning of the move, which is the pace thing. So Aubameyang's got it. You know, Odegaard, Edouard, someone like that would have it, so the player would link to. So I think that's what we'd be looking at. But maybe Martinelli, who knows?
I love him. And I'm going to get you out on a couple questions because they've come in, and I hope I got you for two more minutes here. I know I said half hour, but we're into Sophie time now. What do you think about Andrew's question? Because this kid clearly has a little bit of Ian Wright about him. He's got... But he does he want to sign or not? You know, and when you talk about, you know, building Saka ESR, to me, he seems like he can come in and score goals at will. He's that type of player. Do you think it's possible, or is it his agent that wants him to leave, Dave? Does he want to leave? Like,
I mean, you can only look at it positively right now, because there were so many clubs offering him a pre-contract. He had to do that by the 2nd of February. He didn't sign a pre-contract with any other club. So Arsenal now have, from the 2nd of February to, you know, I know it's officially the 30th of June, but really they have 3 or 4 months to convince him that he has a role to play and he will be part of this club and get game time. Now, to do that, Arteta's going to have to say to Balogun and his agent that I'm selling Nketiah and I'm selling Lacazette. I personally think that will happen. I think he will sell those two players in the summer. But obviously that's the manager's job and that's Eddie's job to have that conversation with Balogun's agent. I don't know enough about Balogun. I've only seen snippets. Everyone raves about him. I've seen lots of players be raved about. I think Muller in the academy is also that talented. So I think he is exactly he has the attributes that we're looking for. But to ask another player to come in at 18, 19 and be actually the person who's going to finish all the moves is huge. But I certainly would like to see him as part of the first team squad next season. And that's up to Arteta. But as I say, I'm confident to a degree, because if he was going to go, he had lots of offers on the table in January and he didn't take any of them.
Right.
So there must be some cause for optimism.
Okay. And this one, otherwise the chat room would kill me if I didn't ask you. You wrote about Arteta. You've written about Arteta. And you're very much of the ilk that he needs a little bit more time. Can you just summarize your thoughts on the season so far? Obviously, you know, when players like Saka excel, and this is the player profile on Saka, and you see that Haaland lad coming through, it's just a beautiful thing. But what's your take on Arteta, and is he the right man to nurture that more and move this team forward?
I've seen enough that I believe, but equally I understand why others don't. I understand why they're nervous to the club of our size is in the hands of a relative novice. But I like the way he comes across. I like the fact he's an Arsenal man and he understands the club. I like the fact he seems to be developing a very good working relationship with Edu. I like the way he wants to play football. And I like the way he's bringing in players that will play the style he wants to play. He's not at that point yet where he's got that whole squad. So that's why I personally would love to see him get another window, because I think we also have to bear in mind, and people are going to be devastated if we don't finish in European places or we don't win the Europa League. Of course, I get all that. But we have actually probably got about £150 million worth of income coming in this summer from player sales. You know, no manager has been in that situation since mid-Wenger era. You know, we look, all these British players that may not have a place in the Arsenal team, they're still good players. Willock's a good player, Maitland-Niles a good player, and Nketiah is a good player. These are Premier League players, maybe not at Arsenal because of the style we play. So there's a lot of money to spend. And as I say, I'm confident that the core of players that he has brought in, or in Tierney's case, Emery brought in, but Gabriel, Mari, some of these young players coming through, there's a core. And I think one more thing I would say, if the way we're talking about Saka now, if we'd lost Saka for six games, would that be Arteta's fault? Would that be Arteta's fault that we'd lost those games? Because some players are that important. Mm-hmm. Kieran Tierney was that player. Kieran Tierney is easily on the same level as Saka for importance in this Arsenal team.
And Dave, you could argue Thomas Partey's become very important very quickly, and you see how
exactly that. We haven't even mentioned him. Remiss of me. So you've got that core. You've got Gabriel, you've got Partey, you've got Tierney, you've got Saka, you've got Smith Rowe. There's a core, you've got Leno. These are top, top players. So, yes, of course I want to give him time. And I'm probably a little bit sentimental in that I loved him as a footballer at Arsenal. I loved him as a footballer at Everton. One of the first articles I ever wrote as a blogger was that we should go and sign Arteta from Everton. So, you know, I have a personal vesting in Arteta. But, no, I see enough to think, yes. You know, if you look at the first 35 minutes against Wolves, we have not played that well for 4 years. Yes, we lost the game because of two idiot moments. Nothing to do with Arteta. You know, against Leeds, first 45 minutes at the same level. This is where we're going. We're not there yet, but we can see the signs, definitely.
And you're not worried about 11 losses and 10 wins this season? That's more about transition, transition versus...
Yeah, it's a journey, but I also, and I said in the article, I totally accept and understand that my context of football, because of what's happening in my personal life, is entirely different than it used to be. And it's entirely different to most fans. And I have to accept that people will shoot me and get annoyed with me because, oh, he doesn't care. And it's not that I don't care. It's just my context of football has changed. So I do fully accept that I may not be as impatient as I might have been in the past, shall we say. I do accept that.
And I understand that. And sometimes life experiences do change your perspective on a lot of things. We had Clive on from the Arsenal Vision Pod two nights in a row where we've had kind of, you know, very calm, forward thinking, look at it from not just... don't look at it from an instant gratification perspective and look at it from a long-term perspective, because we live in an instant gratification world where we want everything now and today. And if it's not delivered tomorrow, we scream and shout about it.
I think I could understand it more if we hadn't just won a major trophy.
Yeah.
You know, there are teams in the top half of the Premier League. I mean, like Everton, who would die. Their fans would die. They haven't won a trophy since the 80s or the 90s. You know, Tottenham haven't won one since 2008. We've won four trophies, major trophies in the last 7 years.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, okay, it's not the league, okay, it's not the Champions League, but my generation, the FA Cup means the world, and we won it 6 months ago. Crikey, give the guy a break.
Yeah, I mean, I get both points, and I see it in the sense that I'll criticize him for the moment that we're in, but I'm willing to give him until October, November time. And if we're in the same league position, I think it's fair to say that maybe it's not working, especially after the summer transfer window. So,
no, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. And Andrew,
But we won't be.
No, I hope so. I hope not. We are spoiling you with such great guests this week. And I'm going to let Dave go now. I've got to catch up on some laundry here. But Dave, absolutely brilliant stuff from you. Thanks for joining me. And Saka is the jewel in the crown. And I want to wrap him up in cotton wool and put him up on my windowsill and keep him safe forever. He's just a very, very special kid, isn't he?
It would be lovely if he was playing at Arsenal in his 30s. How joyous would that be?
You know what? It could be one of the greatest stories ever written in Arsenal's history books. And I think we'd
break O'Leary's appearance record.
Yeah. He's very Dave's always calming on me. This two nights in a row, you guys. I'm going to have to flip out on something in a minute when I let him go. But thanks, Dave. Thanks for joining me tonight. No, really appreciate it. Well, let everyone know where they can find you, your books, your Gunnerstown, your articles in The Sun, all of it.
Thank you. Oh, you want me to? Well, Sun's a controversial one, I know. I do, but it's a fans column on the Sun digital
website.
Exactly,
it's different.
I don't write for the newspaper. I'd never buy the newspaper, but I do write a fans column for the Sun most weeks. I do write on Gunnerstown now and again. I have been writing for the Gooner, although I'm not going to be going forward because I want to start writing more for my own site again. So yeah, Gunnerstown and the Sun, and it's GoonerDave66 on Twitter.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining
me. The book's a secret. Only you know about it. So.
Oh, no. I thought you your other book. Your
Oh,
your
well, last... I've got lots of...
Yeah. Well, tell them where they can find it. On Amazon?
Legendspublishing.net or Amazon.
Okay, there you go. Okay, perfect. All right. Okay, good stuff. I was talking about the books in the past, not the future.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining me, Dave. Take care.
No worries.
I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Lots of love.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Dave Seeger. You can find him at Gunnerstown, as he said, and he's GoonerDave66 on Twitter. Some fantastic comments from him. And, you know, it's really different when, you know, I don't know if a lot of you know, but Dave lost his son in very tragic circumstances. And those experiences really do change your perspective on life, let alone how you approach your team and your perspective and how you write. He's an author, he's a journalist, he's super talented. He's ingrained in the Arsenal community. He's one of the best. And I just adore Dave, and to have him on the show again. And if you haven't seen our Evergreen series, then you should check it out, because Dave was one of the very few exclusively selected Arsenal fans who had the FA Cup delivered to his home. And after losing his son, I mean, it was just the most cathartic, incredible experience for him. And we did an interview with him shortly after that. So please go check it out on our YouTube channel, the Evergreen series with Dave Seeger, and what it meant to him to have the FA Cup delivered to his home. And he is, you know, just really great. So appreciate you guys this evening. And yes, I mean, Liam is always in his thoughts every single day, every single moment. And when we have him on, you know, it's a galvanizing way for him to keep going in terms of writing and stuff like that. So always appreciate Dave. Now, I also appreciate you guys as well. And thank you, Taib. Smash the likes button up. Let's do some thank you, Games FC. Thank you, DB70. Hi, PG. Welcome. Good luck tomorrow. Everyone, wish PG luck. She starts a new job tomorrow. It's kind of like Christmas job eve for PG tonight. She's curling her hair. You know, she's doing her stuff. She's getting ready for the big day tomorrow. But in true Highbury Squad fashion, we know she's going to smash it, right? So everyone send their love to PG and wish her good luck for starting her new job tomorrow. All right. And in the meantime, you guys know that we've got some bits and bobs. I'm going to try and get, I've got 2 minutes to go under an hour. It was supposed to be a half hour show. God damn it. Why can't I just do this? Here we go. So footballprizes.co.uk, as you guys know, are our sponsors. They're fantastic human beings. And this week, they are giving away, let's see, this. It's the Arsene Wenger signed framed pennant. You can go and buy a ticket, but tomorrow night after the Benfica game in our post-game show with Super Kev, going to be giving away a free ticket, and you'll get a number for the auction on Friday. But in the meantime, look, no matter what you think about Arsene Wenger, he's still a legend, gave us that invincible season, changed football, let alone changed Arsenal Football Club, or evolved it to Arsenal 2.0 after George Graham. We don't include the Bruce Rioch year. We just toss that out into the trash, that one. Although, well, he didn't buy Bergkamp. We all know David Dean got Bergkamp, right? So go to footballprizes.co.uk, grab your ticket, and we will be giving a free one tomorrow as well. Love you too, Mr. Mike. Good luck, PG. Let's get these. We did score predictions yesterday. I think I said 4-1. Wait, Newman, are you vomiting at me or the Arsene Wenger? gosh, you can always trust Newman to say something inappropriate at the most opportune times, right? Good luck, PG, from everybody here in chat. Score prediction, I think mine was 4-1. I think Kev's was 2-1 or PG's was 2-1. Anyway, we did them last night with Clive from Arsenal Vision podcast. So we'll see how we did. In the meantime, boys and girls, by the way, sugar, I almost forgot again. 4 days in a row I've been forgetting, but Jason Parbury, do you guys remember he wasn't well when his son wrote to us and we all sent him love and we sent him good vibes and good wishes? Well, Mr. Parbury celebrated his 50th birthday on Sunday. And his son reached out to me and said, he loves you guys so much. Please wish him a happy birthday. So in true fashion, I'm not going to sing like Marilyn Monroe, but I am going to wish Mr. Jason Parbury a very happy 50th belated true Highbury Squad Sophie time version birthday. Okay. So Jason, we hope you're well. We hope you're feeling better. You have an amazing son who's always looking out for you. And I tell you something, I might use him as a salesman because he weaves me into these shout outs for you all the time. And don't worry, Casey, we'll be back tomorrow. What, you can't just cope one night with me? Come on, Taib, you're my man. You keep calling me the queen and the legend. And now you're saying you miss Casey? I'm just saying. He'll be back tomorrow night after Benfica. Okay, happy birthday, Jason. There you go. Lots of messages for you and your dad. Happy birthday. No Wenger statues. We don't like statues. Statues are, I think they're too, I don't know. Are they necessary in life, statues? I don't think so. We got 3-0 from Steve. We've got 4-0 from Matty. We've got 2-0 from Osteoman. Bruce, who? Exactly, Daniel. You know the score. By the way, I'm getting a call and it says Campbell on here, but I'm sure it's not Kevin Campbell. My phone is buzzing. Listen, we're going to be back tomorrow night. Let's hope that we win against Benfica. This is the most important game, one of the most important games in recent history for the Gunners, okay? Deep breath, Avon says, relax. Mask Gunner, Kevin who? He'll sort you out tomorrow. You wait and see when he finds out what you said. I'm feeling it. I think so. We need to have a Sophie statue conversation at some point. Well, listen, I'm decked out tonight. Last night I wore the white. Tonight I'm wearing the cream. We got the hat. Great player profile on Bukayo Saka. Thanks to Dave for coming on. We love Saka. He's amazing. We've got to nurture him. We've got to take care of him. We've got to wrap him up, but we've also got to let him go. It's kind of like when you're a parent and they go off to college and you don't want them to leave. And when they move out of the house, it's empty and there's something missing and there's a vibe that's gone. But you know you're sending them out into the world so they can just do all the things they want to do and fulfill their dreams. And we want Bukayo Saka to fulfill his dreams with the Arsenal. He is the best player we've seen in years. And let's hope that he stays with us for years to come. In the meantime, you won't have to wait years for another edition of the Highbury Squad. Tonight, I'm doing it myself. I hope I do it justice. Always Arsenal.